Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Hi, I love calcium. Calcium, that's like the woman that walks in with the black leather and the four-inch. She's really trampy, you know, and she'll break away from her date immediately when she gets to the party, and she'll cause all the other dates to break up, and, you know, and she'll rebond with all the other guys, you know, in the party before, and that's how it works.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a kolachki's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees, and by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. He's seriously, strenuously, and severely green, and it gives him a headache every week. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Happy week after Earth Day, everybody. It's the rest of your life, speaking, calling. Do something green anyway. I know that whole thing's over with. We can move on. We can get to serious stuff, which is polluting the planet. So that's really important. Dennis Shears, good morning.
Hey, how you doing today?
All right. How are you?
Doing fine. Those were great Green Day. That's a band. Earth Day tips last week.
Green Day's cool.
Yeah, they are cool as well. But no, great Earth Day tips last week. People called in.
And we gave out some ticks. Let's see, Alan, if you're listening, you're the last on the list for me to get the ticks out. I didn't have his last name, so I had to get his last name, and he called the other day, and I haven't gotten it back. But the good news is that I found out after the show, of course, from the publicity person for, To the Arctic. I had said last week that the show was running, at the IMAX in Navy Pier until April 29th, would have been today. Turns out it's running to the end of the year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But I went to the site. I went to the press release. See, when they launch a movie and the PR people get their hands on it, they don't tell you when it ends. They just tell you when it starts. They say, hey, we're premiering on the 17th of April. It'll be the screening and then blah, blah, blah. And then the show, the 20th, we launch and... They don't tell you the end of it. However, if you're giving out tickets, you got to tell people when the end of it is. So I went frantically looking on the sites, and all I could come up with was the calendar that's on the IMAX at Navy Pier where you can make reservations, and the last reservation you could make was the 29th. So erroneously, I concluded that the film was running a week. Well, no, it's running to the end of the year. So all of you who got tickets to that, you've got till the end of the year to get those in. So my apologies for getting that wrong. And today, actually, I want to do a shout-out. And I do shout-outs sometimes. I can remember back when I was at Gargantua Radio down the dial, I did a shout-out to my auto mechanic because my auto mechanic is awesome. And they pulled me aside and they said, we don't do shout-outs on this station. This is you don't do a shout-out on this station because we're very, very, very big, so you don't do that. They didn't actually say they were very big, but that was sort of implied. But, hey, here's a shout-out on Chicago's Progressive Talk to my buddy Tom. Tom N., and you know who you are. He wrote, not just to me, but to his friends, to say, He's going to have back surgery this week. Tuesday, actually, and he says major back surgery. I don't even know what major back surgery means, and I don't ever want to have major back. Do you have back pain,
no,
Dennis?
No, not at all.
But you're a pup.
Yeah, I'm a little young. So
and
I
your
guess.
Problem is you're about as tall as I am. You're 6'1" or two, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. The tall guys get the back pain eventually.
So
you're,
I've heard
you're going to get it.
I'm all right.
I'm actually. Do I knock on something? This is Formica or whatever the heck this counter is. We got lots of plastic here. I can knock on some plastic. I've been pretty well spared of that in my life, and for that I'm grateful. But Tom is going to have back surgery. I know he's a fan of the show. I really appreciate the fact that he's a fan of the show, and he listens most of the time. He's going to be out of action until the end of May. He says he may not be mobile or coherent enough. Good drugs, huh, Tom? I hope they give you the good stuff. To be answering his phone or even email for about a week. They're telling him it's an 85% chance that the surgery will leave him without pain. So I'm pulling for you, Pally. So I hope he's listening today before he goes under the knife. Yikes.
Very smart to look out for your mechanic, by the way. Good thinking.
Oh, yeah. You know, if he's listening today, Pete, love Pete. Pete's Auto Repair at Wilson and Pulaski. That guy is the best. He has shepherded me now through, I don't know, three or four automobiles because I'm always getting used cars. I can't afford a real one, a new one. So he's always getting me through, and the last one was when the Camry I have lost the harness. It just shorted on me in the middle of Fullerton Avenue, and he found a new one. I mean, the guy's remarkable, and he takes good care of me. So yeah, I'll give a shout out to Pete. I give a shout out to all my friends today on the show. We're going to give a shout out in terms of interviews with a number of people, including, Pam Manwaring from the Ileana Garden Pond Society. They've got their Waterscape Weekend Garden and Pond Expo, which is in its second day today, finishes up. It's at the Lake County Fairgrounds in Crown Point, Indiana. Now, if you've never been over to the Lake County Fairgrounds, it's a really cool. I describe it on my website this week, on this week's show, and you can always go to MikeNovak.net, go to this week's show. I describe it as retro because it is. It's like a throwback to another era. I love the county fairgrounds there. Although many county fairgrounds are like that, aren't they? It's the kind of thing where you walk on a fairground and you say, "Yeah, I could have lived in this century, whatever century it is." So Pam will be here in just a few minutes. Rick DeMaio is not here today. He's out of town. Pat Skatch is filling in, as he usually does. And that's going to be precisely at 9:45. This is my new dictate, I guess. Weather at 9:45, just so you know. All right? So you can hang in your car until you get your weather fix. And Pat Skatch will fill in today. Kathy McGlynn from the Illinois Invasive Species Awareness Month. She is here, well, to talk about invasive plants. The month was declared last year by Governor Pat Quinn, and Kathy will be here. She is actually with the Northeast Illinois Invasive Plant Partnership, or NIIPP, and we'll talk about some of the plants you might be seeing. There's a nice picture of garlic mustard on my website, which is actually a pretty plant. It's kind of neat, but really ridiculously invasive. And we'll talk about why. And why, if you see it, you need to get it out of there before it flowers. And we've got the flowering. I don't know if Kathleen took photos in our, I don't think so, but we've got some growing in the community garden in our neighborhood, which we're having a work day today. So the garlic mustard is coming out. It is being removed. And so Kathy McGlynn in the 10 o'clock hour, and then a sponsor, great sponsor on the Mike Novak Show, and also Mighty House, Green Home Experts in Oak Park. Maria Onesto Moran will be here. They've just launched their new Green Home Experts Eco Garden Center, which I dropped by the other day, got a ticket from Oak Park's Finest. Yeah, thank you, Oak Park. Appreciate it. That'll really encourage me to go back there to the city, not to Maria's place. I love Green Home Experts, and we'll talk about the new deal there. She's got some great stuff, and already her friends have been tweeting and saying, "Wow, Maria's going to be on the show. That's so cool." So your fans are out there. And also, you're welcome to call in 773-763-9278. I've got some extra time today. Oh, and by the way, and if you call in 773-763-9278, we'll answer whatever questions we can, meaning me as the royal we. That's who. Because I don't have Melinda Myers, who's great having in studio. In a couple of weeks, Beth Botts is going to be sitting in as well, and she's always great to have here. I have tickets to the Green Fest for next week, for the 5th and 6th at Navy Pier. I want to give some away today. You know what? I don't have, I don't even know how I'm going to give them away yet. So what I might do is allow you to get creative out there. Whether you tweet at Mike Now or you go to Facebook, the Mike Novak Show on Facebook, or you call 773-763-9278. Get creative. And I'll give out some tickets to the Green Fest because I'm speaking there next Saturday at 2 p.m. In fact, I haven't even really called that up on the computer, but I am going to be there at 2 p.m. and talking about, you know, green stuff. That's what we do. I'll cop to it. I was going to do it with Mr. Cowgill, and he's unable to join me. So he owes me one. He owes me big time, actually. He owes me big time for a lot of things. And now my cord, the headphone cord, is caught in the wheel of the chair. Hold on. Oh, man. Get me out of here. Wow. Oh, dear. It's yanking my head off. I'm going to get whiplash here.
I'm not sure how to help you on that one, but I am. I've got your back, buddy.
You got my back? Yeah, you're watching me in distress here. Wait, hold on. No, talk to the people, Dennis.
Green Fest. If you would like to go to Green Fest, please give us a call at 773-763-9278. Now, if you got an old-fashioned phone, you'll have letters on there.
I'm almost got
There's
it.
There's a W, a C, a P, and a T, 9278. Once again, the Green Fest. And he's
wow.
Mike Novak going to be speaking at the Green Fest. 773-763-9278.
There we
Mike?
Go. Wow.
There we go.
Wow. I almost hurt myself there. Yikes. Okay. I almost pulled the whole apparatus out of the wall here. Okay. Yes, 773-763-9278. And we'll give away some ticks. We'll have some fun today. Look, I got people calling in already. So, all right. Well, we'll handle that phone call. Dennis will take care of that. We will get to our first guest in a second, and that will be Pam Manwaring from Ileana Garden Pond Society. But do you want to make your garden stand out from the rest? Well, who doesn't? You need to head up to Wilmette to visit Chalet. For 94 years, they've been more than a garden center or a landscaping service. They've been passionate about what they do. Chalet has more Illinois-certified nursery professionals than anyone else and teams of skilled landscape architects, designers, maintenance technicians, and, of course, Jennifer Brennan, my co-host on Dig In Chicago. She's the brains behind the free lecture series in Chalet's Education Center. They are the only garden center whose lectures can be used for credits toward Illinois Master Gardener certification. How cool is that? And Chalet features an incredible selection of trees, shrubs, perennials, roses, herbs, and vegetables, plants you won't find anywhere else. They also carry unique containers in addition to a complete line of tools, soils, fertilizers, and home decor. Don't miss the glass house with lush, green, and blooming houseplants or the award-winning Pet Essentials Department. Chalet is located at Lake Avenue in Skokie Road, just off the Edens Expressway in Wilmette, or at chaletnursery.com. And they're a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And include Milorganite, eco-friendly, all-purpose fertilizer as part of your formula for success. Use Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer in all your planting beds. The low nitrogen, slow release formula makes Milorganite goof proof and good for the environment. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Available wherever garden supplies are sold.
And of course, that's Melinda Myers.
Allergies acting up, trouble
breathing, Heather Fry.
Headaches, sinus pressure. You're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545. Or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Sorry about that, Heather. Now, if you're a bird lover, Openlands has some advice for some fine bird watching. Head over to Bartell Grassland, located 35 miles south of downtown Chicago in Matteson, Illinois. Bartell is a 380-acre restored wet mesic prairie that provides essential habitat for nesting grassland birds. Some of these birds return each spring from as far away as South America to nest and raise their young. The site has been designated as an important bird area by the National Audubon Society, and as such is part of the global effort to conserve areas that are vital to birds and biodiversity. Openlands notes that grassland bird species are declining worldwide due to the fragmentation of the large uninterrupted grasslands they need to thrive. The dramatic improvements made at this site over the past decade have created habitat for numerous species of native plants that attract large numbers of grassland birds. So, bring your binoculars and enjoy the view. For more information about Bartell Grassland, go to openlands.org. Openlands, conserving nature for life. Oh, and the and scene now, the one I was going to have. There we go. Let's do this. Okay, Dennis, I will help you out here. So you're going to have to come in here to get that number. I neglected to put it on the cheat sheet there. This is the Mike Novak Show. Forgetting phone numbers for 15 years on Chicago radio, and I'm glad you're with me. We'll get to a couple of phone calls in just a second. Come on in here, Dennis. I got to get you this information so you can give Pam Manwaring a call. I believe it's right here. Let's see where we are. Okay. He's puts a pen in front of me and a pencil, and I think it's here. Oh, no, there we go. All right. You take that number, and I'm calling it, and then you can call her. Let's go to the phones. 773-763-9278 is the phone number, and on line one, Shelley from Forest Park. Good morning. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Good morning. I couldn't think of anybody else to ask this question of because most people just hate dandelions and wouldn't even listen to the question. But when I walk around my neighborhood or my own yard or whatever, and I see a dandelion flower, I've been trying to yank out the whole thing, get the roots when I can. But then I thought, maybe I should just pull off the flower so that it doesn't turn into seeds and then propagate everywhere, but let the leaves alone, because don't the leaves take carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. So this is a real, like, moral dilemma for me. Am I better off for the world pulling out the entire dandelion plant, or just pulling off all the flowers and letting the leaves do their thing?
Wow, Shelley, you're so nuanced. This is see, most people don't believe in the nuance of the dandelion issue. Okay, they're either firm or against him, and mostly they're against him. Okay,
although I mean, sometimes people tell me, well, you could make wine or
sure,
it's in a salad. Except that in an urban area where the people are having their dogs and animals
yeah.
do things, and the city comes around and or people come around and put chemical fertilizer. So
yeah.
So those dandelions are no good to anybody except if you tell me the leaves are okay.
Well, you know, you raise some really, really good points. And the other thing to be aware of is if you're in an urban or suburban area, that there might be some lead in the soil. So if you're using dandelions, I've talked about this on the show before, if you're going to use dandelions for a salad or for probably not so much for wine, for a salad, though, you got to wash them. You got to make sure you get all that soil off of there. And like you said, there might be other things that they've been treated with unintentionally. But you're right about one thing. You remove the flower heads and you're not going to have as many problems in your own property. Now, of course, you know how dandelion seeds are. They blow in the wind. So if you're removing them and your neighbor isn't, that's not going to help a lot. But the other thing you bring up that's really important is, dandelions do provide some benefit actually to the soil. A friend of mine who's an organic lawn care guy said, if you ever look at the soil around the root system of a dandelion, it's really rich. And dandelions, like other so-called weeds, because I've said again on the show, and Melinda confirmed it last week, you know, is clover a weed? Well, I don't think so, because it's a nitrogen fixer. It's putting nitrogen in your soil. Well, dandelion is about calcium. And having dandelions to some degree tells you that you've got a calcium deficiency in your soil, because it will bring calcium to the soil. Now, and we talked about, and you heard it at the top of the show, you heard Jennifer Brennan talking about calcium, which is just, I don't know if you heard that, but her whole deal is that calcium binds with a lot of different elements. Wally, Dr. Wally at Pesci's, was telling a friend of mine the other day that, so if you want to rid yourself of dandelions, you might try some gypsum treatment, because then you're adding calcium to the soil, and then the soil isn't as calcium deficient, and the dandelions aren't as likely to be part of it. So it is a matter of what you think a dandelion is. Is it a weed, or is it just another plant that is in a place that you don't want it to be? And most people choose the latter. So that's kind of the situation with dandelions. Yeah, you can lop off the heads, you mow them before they bloom, and it's going to keep the weed seeds down. But like I said, if they're blown in from other places, there's not much you can do. And I talked actually yesterday at Mighty House about how to get rid of, there's a number of ways to get rid of dandelions besides digging them up.
I did hear that. But let me just make sure I understand. The leaves do good things. I mean, you mentioned what the dandelion does for the soil, and actually the flowers they're pretty. But if you don't want those, I mean, the leaves still do good. So if I'm just pulling off the heads, the leaves are still helping us, right?
Well, the plant is still growing. It's still there. It's, you know, when you say, is it helping us? It is still, as I said, mitigating the soil by growing in it and bringing calcium. In terms of
the CO2,
sure. Any plant is providing is sucking up CO2 to some degree. Trees the most of all, mm-hmm. as you know. So you got to say, and actually Ron Cowgill mentioned this yesterday, that there is a certain amount of biodiversity you get from having weeds in your lawn. When, you know, if you have just the lawn, it's uh-huh. it's more of a monoculture, and it's not quite as healthy. So there is something to be said for having different kinds of plants in your lawn. And I think what folks need to get used to is if they have a few dandelions, it's not a huge issue. It's you know, if they have clover, it's not a huge issue. If you have some creeping Charlie and it's not running rampant, you know, keep an eye on it and try to keep it out as best as you can. It shouldn't be an issue. I just don't see it that way. And it's a matter of us changing our mindset.
Uh-huh.
And I think you already have. So, Shelley, would you like a couple of tickets to the Green Fest?
Oh, my gosh. I would adore that.
All right. You got them. You hang on. You talk to Dennis, and we'll get you those ticks, okay?
Well, thank you so much for the information. I'm enlightened every time I listen to your show.
Well, I appreciate that. I am, too, sometimes. All right. Take care. It's the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We got a bunch of calls. Let's go real quick, though, to our star. I will get back to some of these other calls. Hang on a second. Pam Manwaring from the Ileana Garden Club. How are you, Pam?
Good morning, Mike. I'm great. How are you?
Great. It's actually the Ileana Garden Pond Society, and it is the Waterscape Weekend Garden and Pond Expo 2012 at the Lake County Fairgrounds in Crown Point.
Yes. It's our 11th year.
11th year, really?
11th year.
Wow.
Yeah. We grew from having only 8 vendors our first year and getting an attendance of over 1,500 people, which shocked us. We thought we'd get maybe 500 people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we realized, wow, this is something that people really want and need.
Why do you think that is?
Well, because the home and garden shows, if you ever go to them, they're, you know, 90% home. You're searching for something garden-related. And they're, you know, gardeners, there's just, you know, we're all over. Gardeners are just everywhere. So we're just, you know, searching for new items and items we can add to our garden and information on our gardens and specifically our ponds, because the Ileana Garden Pond Society is predominantly about backyard ponding, the ornamental ponds with the Japanese koi. But we also have our water plants and our bogs and our lotus and water lilies. And so you can't find that everywhere. If you go to Home Depot, you know, you get a little teeny section somewhere. So it's kind of hard to find. So what we do is bring together all the different vendors from the area that supply that kind of thing, that have the information, the product, and what we do is put it in a nice display arena so that people can see it in action. We have, you know, ponds, waterfalls, water fountains, you know, everything on display so people can really get a good idea of what it will look like.
I know. It looks fabulous. I've been down there. And you also have seminars.
Yes, we do. We have seminars. Today we're having seminars by Wayne Gruber of Gardens on the Prairie. At 1 o'clock is top plant picks for 2012.
Wayne, you know, I haven't seen Wayne in a couple of years from Gardens on the Prairie.
Yeah, I told him I was going to be on your show. He was all excited.
Well, let's give old Wayne a plug there for the folks down that way. Go to
Gardens on the Prairie in Lowell, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a lot of research, and he's got what he thinks are the best plants, you know, the newest and best for 2012. He'll be doing a seminar on that at 1. And followed right at 1:30 by container gardening on what's best to do for containers. And at 2 o'clock, there'll be a seminar on water features, on all the different types of water features. You know, they have new kinds of water features that are pondless waterfalls. You don't even need a pond to have a waterfall.
I know. I think the first time I saw one was at your pond expo.
Yeah, they're just so neat because a lot of people don't want water. They have children or they have pets. You know, so you can have a waterfall that you can actually just turn on and off. You know, ponds you got to leave on all the time. But these pondless waterfalls you can put in and just, you know, flip them on when you're out there.
And there's actually water in them. It just disappears
exactly.
Right away.
It just goes back down into the ground.
It makes the noise and you get that whole effect and the soothing, sound.
Right.
Yeah, but you don't have to worry about water. It's kind of it's odd. It's like artificial sweetener or something, you know?
Yeah, it is, but it's great for those people who can't, you know, I don't have room for a pond, I've got little kids, but you really want to have that sound and something beautiful to look at, and so, yeah, there's something new every year, you know, and that's what we're about, bringing all that's, you know, new in backyard ponding, you know, and gardening, because we're talking a lot. Actually, we have Lake County Master Gardeners. They're talking on heirlooms and organic gardening. So we're trying to get, you know, a lot of us are actually going back to that kind of thing. So we're trying to bring that, you know, up to the forefront also.
Yeah, and the venue is, as I mentioned earlier, is awesome, which is the Lake County Fairgrounds.
I love it. Yes,
it really is a neat place to go to an event, and you know, you would think that, well, it's Crown Point, Indiana. What's going on at Crown Point? Well, this beautiful fairgrounds and this amazing Pond Expo that you put together, and give the exact directions for folks who are in the area who want to get down there.
I think the best way is going to be if you hop on I-65 in Indiana and you get off at exit 247. That's the Crown Point exit. I always remember it as 24/7. We're open 24/7, but we're not. But you get off at the exit 247 and you'll take a left when you get off the exit and you'll go about a mile. You'll look on your left for Greenwood Avenue and you'll hop on Greenwood Avenue and just take that right to the fairgrounds.
Well, Pam, I know that it started at 9. It goes to what, till 4 today?
We have till 5, but by about 4, it starts to, you know, people start to get antsy to leave. So if you're there by 4, you got it made.
Yeah, on a Sunday, at about 4 o'clock, that's when a lot of those festivals turn into ghost towns.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. even the Flower and Garden Show here in Chicago, normally that's what happens. So I know you want to get going. I'm going to let you go. Thank you for...
For
saying hi, and I hope a bunch of people show up and have a good time.
I do, too. It's a beautiful day today, so come on out. It's a little too chilly to work in the yard, so come out and pick up. You can get plants. You can get information. You can get everything you need, so come
All right.
by.
And I hope I see you soon, Pam.
I do, too. Thanks so much, Mike.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye.
You, too. Bye-bye.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I got a bunch of people holding. I'm going to get to those in a second. I do want to tell you that I was just looking some stuff up here, too, and about dandelions, the nutritional value of dandelions, vitamin A, vitamin C, phosphorus, calcium. Remember, I mentioned calcium. The entire plant is usable from the root all the way up to the flower, including the stems and leaves. Calories, 25 calories, total fat, 0 grams. you know, there's not a lot of calories in a dandelion. So there you go. Dandelion, the perfect food. See, and maybe that's the way we need to, describe it now. We'll talk about it as the perfect food. What happens when you apply high-quality organic ingredients to your soil and vegetable plants? That's right. You get high-quality vegetables. Dr. Earth has you covered from planting to harvest. Start with the probiotic planting mix. Add some tomato, vegetable, and herb fertilizer. And take down insects with Dr. Earth's all-organic fruit and vegetable insect spray. Dr. Your Earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden, sold only at local independent garden centers. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you and like them on Facebook at Dr. Earth Organic Products.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Have you been to the new, and I mean new, Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center in Chicago? It's been a great spring at 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village, and things are only getting better by the day. Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center is jam-packed with lush new plant material, including colorful blooming perennials, gorgeous grasses, charming annuals. The Gerbers are here. The Gerbers are here. I think that's what people say when they see them. Shrubs, galore, edibles from fruit trees to herbs, intoxicating tropicals, fun containers, and more. My buddy Jeannie Felkner, please stop in and say hi to her for me, is very excited about the long-handled dandelion weeder. Speaking of dandelions, there's that other side of the coin where people don't like dandelions. If you want a weeder, get the long-handled one from True Temper. It's going to make your back very happy. The ladybugs and praying mantids are in. They're awesome if you like biological pest control. Of course, stop in and say hello to Copper and Buttercup in their lovely new coop in the backyard. They're chickens. Really, they are. Visit Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center on Facebook or just stop by at 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village. And that is right in your own backyard. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let us go back to the phones, and we'll go to line two. And Maria, you're on the air. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Well, speaking of dandelions, I'm actually juicing dandelion greens this morning.
Are you really?
I am. I'm going to do kale, romaine, some basil, some celery. And maybe throwing some ginger and lemon as well.
And you're throwing dandelions in there too?
Yeah, in my Vitamix. Yeah.
In the what?
In my Vitamix.
Your Vitamix.
My Vitamix juicer. Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. So you just throw all those in together, swirl them around, and
add a little bit of water if you want. For my girls, I add a lot of juicy fruits to it. In fact, I demonstrate the equipment on a regular basis. It's one of my last days at the show that I'm doing currently right now, but that's how I start the day.
Wow. That's cool. Well, that's reason alone for me to give you a couple of ticks to the to the Green Fest.
I was hoping you would.
Well, I figured that's why you called. All right. All right. Well, Maria, because you're making your concoction, what happens? What does it taste like if you don't put in the juicy stuff?
You know what? I actually, my palate has adjusted to that over the years. I always, whenever I'm doing straight greens, if I want to just leave out the fruits, I always add lemon. It's a really good detox and cleanse, but it also freshens up the taste.
Uh-huh.
And then I always add a fresh herb. There's so many healing benefits to herbs. But
sure, yeah. Well, that would make total sense.
And the herbs just really, really take the edge off the funkiness that the dandelion greens can have, for example.
So dandelion greens are a little funky, huh?
They are, yeah.
What would you?
That's for the advanced Vitamix blender drinkers, you know.
How would you describe their taste?
They're bitter. They can have a bitterness to them.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's actually funny. My mother-in-law is Greek.
Yeah.
And one day I came home from work, and she had the sautéed greens, and I thought, man, it looks so good. I was thinking it was spinach, so I'm eating it. And I'm like, wow, it has a taste of spinach at the beginning, and then it gets really bitter. I'm like, no, this isn't right. So I asked her, I said, what is this? She said, it's dandelions. Where did you get those? She said, oh, I got them at the store. You know, the store. I'm like, okay. So 2 days later, my neighbor sees me. And she says, yeah, I saw your father-in-law the other day, and he was out in that yard all day picking dandelion greens. And it just so happens that the dandelion greens that she made were actually from my backyard.
Wow. Well, it ain't no store selling those dandelions. Well, Maria, I'm gonna send you a couple of tickets. You hang on, talk to Dennis, get the information to him, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
Bye. And I see that Jill in Bloomingdale, you've got some information on dandelions? Hi, Jill.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not Jill. What is this, Jim?
It's Jim.
Jim.
Yeah, hi.
I'm trying to read the. It's a little screen here. It's a tiny little screen here. All right.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, I've been messing with dandelions for years. I got into it by Newell Gibbons. You might recall.
Oh, I remember. And oh, what was the name of his book? In Search of the Wild Something.
stalking the wild asparagus.
Stalking the wild asparagus. There you go. Yeah, you know, you have to be of a certain age to remember Yule Gibbons. He was...
Yeah, right. You come on and say, did you ever eat a pine tree?
Yeah, and he was the guy that Johnny Carson always made fun of.
Right, and Johnny Carson got into it and had him on regularly.
Yeah. So
anyway, I've been messing with dandelions subsequently, and I started potting them, growing them in pots.
No. Really?
Yeah. And my thoughts are to give away potted dandelions for next Mother's Day.
I like the idea. You imagine what some people would say to get a potted dandelion? You know, a lot of them wouldn't recognize it in a pot. They would say, that's so lovely.
And yet that's usually the first flower that children bring to mom.
Yeah, it's true. It is absolutely true. Well, that's a great idea. And would you like a couple of ticks to the Green Fest?
Sure I would.
All right. All right. Well,
my main thought on that was that the one woman was wondering how to grow them better.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing. If you pot them up or anywhere you're growing them, watch for the buds. They come out way down the bottom.
Yeah.
Twist them off, drop those in olive oil to turn them into capers, and then it concentrates all the energy into the leaves and the roots, so you'll get a bigger dandelion because it's a perennial. So each year the root and the leaves will come back stronger and bigger.
I hope Kathleen was listening to that, because she usually tweets this bit the bits of advice that I get, because I'll tell you what you should do is write to me, Jim, and give me that tip. Write to me, Mike at MikeNovak.net. I want that tip, and then we'll pass that along.
I'll give you more than that.
More about dandelions than I ever wanted to know. Jim, hang on. I'm going to send you a couple of tickets to the Green Fest. Talk to Dennis, okay?
Nice talking to you, Mike.
Good talking to you, too. All right, we got Pat's Catch Weather coming up next. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. With money tight, you're going to hear landscapers say, don't worry, I do tree care. When they say that, here's what you ask them. Are you a trained, educated, and certified tree professional? Because that's what you'll get with the Care of Trees. They are trained in up-to-date technologies and techniques and use safe work practices. They follow the most progressive standards and guidelines for tree care work. They are also bonded and insured to protect you and their workers. Can you say that about Joe the landscaper? With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. And, of course, they are a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Lots of people want tickets. You know, you give away something free and then the phone lines light up. That's the way it goes in this business. It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, right ahead of Pat's Catch Weather, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Even as a pseudo-doctor, Wally likes the occasional nip and tuck on your daffodils, tulips, and hyacinths after they bloom. The problem is that people want to cut the foliage back when they should be cutting the flower stalk. When the flowers fade and begin to dry, cut the stem at the base of the plant. Flower heads left on will go to seed, robbing important energy that can aid next year's blooms. Leave the foliage on the plant until it turns yellow, then cut it off at soil level. Wally advises you not to pull on the leaves like I do. Sorry, Wally. But he says you might damage the top of the bulb, so listen to Wally. And don't die. Braid your leaves. Don't tie or braid your leaves. A lot of people do that. They tie the daffodil leaves into a knot. Uniqueness freaks, stop it. This robs the plant of sun exposure, which aids photosynthesis and leads to beautiful blooms next year. You should fertilize the bulbs when the foliage first emerges in the spring. Pesci's Garden Center. There's more, by the way, at MikeNovak.net. You can find this link and other Dr. Wally tips there. And Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at Pesci's.com. It's that time of the show where we go to the phones and bring in our meteorologist, except today it's not Rick DeMaio, but it is Pat Skatch. Pat, wonderful to have you back.
Thank you, Mike. Glad to be here.
What's going on? You sent me a bunch of stuff, and I'll track it down, but I'll let you tell me what you think the headline is in terms of weather today.
Well, that was going to be my last time on the list, but we're going to see some clouds moving in briefly, Mike, and then we're going to have some rain. We're going to have rain overnight. We're going to have rain throughout the week all the way through Friday. It's not going to be a washout by any means, but we're going to have some much-needed rainfall coming in.
Well, that means that this is actually good timing, because we're going to be working in my community garden today, and we can get it in today before the rain hits, right?
Oh, sure. That should start somewhere in the evening. So you're going to have a full day of good weather, you know, high about 57 or so, and mostly cloudy, but good working weather.
Well, but, you know, you said that was the headline, but you also sent me information about the month of March and how unusual it was. It's going to end up being warmer than April. It's only happened once before in 142 years of weather records?
Right. Okay. It appears now, Mike, that March of 2012 is going to be a warmer month overall than April of 2012. Like you said, it only happened once before in Chicago back in 1907. So what I decided to do, Mike, because people always take, you know, sort of an unusual weather circumstance and say, well, how is that going to impact their future, you know, in an extreme way? So I look back at the period, a four-month period of May through August, following that only other occurrence back in 1907, and it was rather interesting. 1907, the four-month period, had an average temperature of 65 degrees, normal 68 degrees, so there really wasn't much fluctuation to any extreme. Rainfall was 3.63 for the four-month period, normal is 3.93. So again, no extreme fluctuations based upon that one strange occurrence. The only other quirk to it was May 3rd and 4th of 1907 actually saw 1.3 inches of snowfall. So, you know, we still can have cold enough weather for snow. So this cannot really project it going either way, like an extremely hot summer or something very cold.
All right. Looking at this week, things are going to warm up a little bit, right?
Absolutely. And briefly, the Climate Prediction Center has a three-month outlook calling for normal temperatures and normal rainfall amounts. So this is, you know, pretty much in agreement with the 1907 stats.
All right. Now, in Illinois, at least this part of Illinois, our average frost-free date is May 15th.
Right.
Are we on schedule for that, and do you see any patterns that would indicate we might get frost after that?
Certainly not this week, and doesn't look like the following week. There could be something that comes along maybe at the end towards the 15th, but if it is, I sincerely doubt it's going to be a hard freeze or anything of that nature. It probably would be, if at all, it would be similar to what we had a couple of days ago, where it was just something very, very light, and that's a remote possibility.
We're talking to Pat Skatch, filling in for Rick DeMaio today, and he is the cooperative weather observer with the National Weather Service in Chicago, climate research contributor with the College of DuPage Meteorology Department. Pat, hang on a second, because I know you had a little information about farmers, too, and I want to get to that, okay?
Sure.
All right. Do you feel like your yard has turned into a real-life game of whack-a-mole? Seriously. Molemax from Bonide can help bust those burrowing creatures nicely, of course. Molemax is made from all natural ingredients and is an effective repellent against moles, voles, rabbits, gophers, groundhogs, squirrels, skunks, and other burrowing animals. It's amazing how many burrowing animals there are. And Molemax is not harmful to animals or people. The dustless and biodegradable granules are safe for use around children, plants, and pets. You just apply 3 to 4 times a year to send nuisance animal pests away. Now, Molemax is available in 10-pound bags that cover 5,000 square feet or in convenient 5-pound shaker applicator for flower or vegetable gardens. Molemax is also available in a quart-size, ready-to-use spray liquid with a built-in hose and sprayer. And Molemax can be found at Knupper Nursery in Palatine, Illinois, Prozac Garden Center in Winfield, Illinois, Tholen's Garden Center in Bourbonnais and Kankakee, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid. Bonide.com.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
For many homeowners, their lawn represents their castle. Go figure. But if you're one of those people, you need to make Alsip Home and Nursery your one-stop shopping center. They carry a full line of Jonathan Green lawn care products. And Alsip urges you to avoid these common lawn mistakes. First of all, have your lawnmower blade professionally sharpened once a year. That's a biggie. And tune your lawnmower, especially, you know, if you've got an internal combustion engine, yeah, you're going to be putting out a lot of pollution. Don't cut the grass too short. Don't try to achieve the look of a putting green in your yard. It ain't going to happen. Don't water the lawn during the heat of the day because the water will evaporate before it sinks in. Early morning watering is best. And don't follow this fertilizer rule, which is if some is good, more is better. Follow all package directions carefully. So get to Alsip Nursery today in Frankfort, Illinois on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30, and online at alsipnursery.com. We're talking to Pat Skatch, who is filling in for Rick DeMaio today. So what's happening with the farmers? It's been an interesting year, but a good one, right?
Absolutely. I spoke with my good friend Kevin down in Kankakee County recently, and he farms 5,000 acres of corn and soybean. The corn crop has just been completely planted, and he tells me this is one of the earliest completion dates he can remember. In fact, the corn plant is already beginning to emerge from the soil, and soybean planting begins tomorrow. So they are really, really happy about that. They were anxious to get out there, Mike, and begin planting early, and they're glad they have. Pretty much the reasons are, you know, the farmers like to have a corn plant mature enough to tassel, and you know this very well. They'd like it to tassel before the hot summer heat begins.
Uh-huh.
Typically, that's about a July 4 target date. And that'll allow for a better growing season as well as a safe harvest in October, rather than a risk in November when there's cold temperatures and the possibility of still some snow or damage to the crop before it's harvested. And also, the corn must be harvested once it reaches maturity. If not, then, you know, the dying process begins.
And this looks like that would put them right on track for that.
Absolutely. Very much so. They are planting, and this is kind of interesting, Mike. he's planting 105-day and 113-day corn. Now, that is not a count of calendar days. It's actually a count of either heating or cooling degree days, primarily when the temperature is above 65 degrees. So, in other words, if we have cool days, it's not really counting, or it's not counted as a planting day or a growing day, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So, when you couple that, if you add 105 days to the calendar where we are now, it seems like it's going to be very short, but there has to be days that are considered non-growing days, and that would make up for it and put them right on track, you know, early October, mid-October for harvest. Now, this is also interesting. The USDA comes out with a weekly crop progress report on Monday. So I'm going back to last Monday. 18 states in the United States have planted 92% of last year's corn acreage. Now, this 92% coincides with Kevin's value of being completely finished for this week as far as planting goes. So, you know, last year at this time, they only had 10% planted.
I know, and in past years, recent past years, some of them have been really wet and cold, and they have not been able to get into the fields. This has been very different because April was very dry, wasn't it?
Exactly, and that was the problem in previous years. They just could not get out there.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, give me like 20 seconds of the forecast again for this week.
Very good. Today we're going to be mostly cloudy. It's going to cloud up, high of 57 and breezy. Rain begins this evening. Showers continue throughout the overnight hours, quarter to a half inch of rain possible, low in the 40s. Monday, showers in the morning, and then it's going to taper off, possibly a thunderstorm, and then rain chances diminish as the day moves on, mid-60s for a high. Tuesday through Friday, each day has a chance of rain, possibly a thunderstorm. Temperatures are going to climb. Average daytime temperature is 66. Wednesday might even see an 80. And no frost in the forecast for this upcoming week.
All right, we're going to get to work in our community garden. That's Pat Skatch, Cooperative Weather Observer with the National Weather Service in Chicago. Always a pleasure to have you fill in for Rick, and we'll talk to you in the future.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Let's go to another line here. I want to bring in a real quick call before we break, and that's Phil on line three. How you doing, Phil?
Good, good. How you doing, Mike?
All right, what's up?
Not too much. I was just giving a call to just promote a new business that I'm starting. That's actually a green business. It is non-toxic, all-natural pest control, residential, commercial services. And what I do is we basically use all products. Everything that we use are non-toxic, all earth-friendly, eco-friendly products. And we always use that as the first option. We are licensed, though. If we need to, we can go ahead and use the pesticides if it comes down to it. But basically, I want to try and get into the movement away from all the chemicals that we are.
All right, Bob. Give me a website.
Naturetech.com, naturetechsolutions.com.
Naturetechsolutions.com, tech spelled T-E-K. Thanks for calling in, Phil.
Thanks a lot.
All right, have a good one. See, we got all kinds of great tips. We'll see what they say on the flip side.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees, and by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. Here he is again, Mike Novak. It's a shot in the dark. You're right at my
throat. 'Cause looking for heaven, for the devil in me. Second hour of the Mike Novak Show. Welcome. We just gave away a couple more tickets. We may even... I don't even know how many I've got here. I never count these things ahead of time, but I think we got plenty. We'll give away a few more if we can. Later on this hour, Kathy McGlynn from the and on behalf of Illinois Invasive Species Awareness Month. In fact, she's on the line right there. Is she? Oh, no, she's not. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want me to take one of those calls, like four? Would that be a good thing, Dennis? Okay, let's do that. Let's go back to the phones and bring in, I think I got to release that. There we go. Putting you on hold. There we go. And I believe this is Susan. Is this you?
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
Hi. You know what? I wanted to tell you, I met you at in Niles at Oakton in Milwaukee when you were one of the judges for the tomato contest.
Oh, my goodness. That was a while ago.
3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, you want to know the thing I learned about tomato judging contests?
What's that?
It's not, they're not fair because the little tomatoes are going to win every single time. Yeah, they're always sweeter. And they're always looking for sweetness in these contests. The thing about larger tomatoes, the flavor is more subtle. It's more complex and ultimately more satisfying. The little tomatoes are more like candy, and if you have a tomato judging competition where you're looking for the flavor, that sweetness that comes out of the little tomatoes, I think is always going to be the bully in the room, and it's going to push aside the subtle flavor of the larger tomatoes. So that's
really
that's my opinion of that.
Yeah, if I may ask, how many tomatoes did you have to eat that day?
More than I wanted to, okay? Let me just put it that way.
Yeah. Well, it was good to see you anyways. I just have a quick question about before I plant my tomatoes this year.
Yeah.
Is it a good idea, Mike, to get a soil tester? And will it tell me the pH I need for the soil?
Yeah, that's what a soil test will do. It'll give you the pH level, and it'll also tell you you can get them to get different judge the various substances that you have in your soil, elements and nutrients is what I meant to say. So I always advise getting a soil test. I think it's a great way to start, especially if you've never had one.
Yeah.
Then you know, at least you have a baseline to go from.
Yeah.
If you've never done that before, this is where you start, okay?
Okay.
By the way, tomatoes like their soil, I'm looking at a site here that says 6.0 to 6.8, which is just slightly acidic. You know, where 7 is neutral.
Okay.
So you want your soil slightly under the neutral. Now, the problem is in Illinois, generally in this area, and I know that there are people listening in the sound of my voice who have other soil pHs, you know, especially if over Michigan and maybe Indiana. Here in Chicago, around this area, though, it's clayey and it's alkaline, which means it's above 7. It doesn't drain particularly well, and that's another thing you got to worry about if you're planting into the ground. This is why some people plant in containers, because they can control better. But if you amend your soil, you put compost down and amend your soil with compost, that's a good start. And compost in itself will lower the soil pH a little bit. I mean, you got to understand that you're dealing with your basic soil, and you can amend soil and you can lower pH, but it reverts. But generally, where our soil isn't that bad. If you're getting good friable soil and you're adding compost to it, you shouldn't have that big a problem with tomatoes. Make sure the watering is constant. Make sure they got proper sun, and make sure there's good drainage.
Okay, cool. You know, I think I'll go over to Pesci's and see Dr. Wally.
I think you should go see Dr. Wally. Yeah, well, he'll give you all the.
Every time I drive over that way, I'm thinking of you, Mike, and I'm going to tell him you something.
Please do. You know, if any of you are driving by a sponsor's place, just be able to pop in and Mike and say, Mike, you know, if you're at Allsip or you're at Pesci's or Christy Weber, Landscapes, Farm and Garden Center.
Okay.
You know, just drop in. Say hi.
I will, and I always will mention your name. Anyways, you're as nice as you sound on the radio.
No, I'm not, actually, but that's okay. Susan, you have a great day, all right?
Okay, good to talk to you, Mike.
Take care. Bye-bye. 773-763-9278 is our telephone number. Let us go to line 5, bring in Kathy McGlynn. How are you, Kathy?
Good. Good morning, Mike.
Good. Good to have you on board again. You know, it's 2 days before the big event, which is the start of the national, or rather, it's a state invasive awareness, right? Campaign?
Yeah. The national event was in February.
Oh, is it really? See, I didn't know that. In Illinois, we have the campaign here in May. It is Illinois Invasive Species Awareness Month, and Kathy is with the Northeast Illinois Invasive Plant Partnership. She was on the show last year about this time because we talked about the same thing, about the great 2011 Garlic Mustard Challenge. I got to give you the bell because Illinois won.
We did. Woo-hoo! That's very exciting.
that was last year.
Yes, and the garlic mustard has been blooming really early this year.
I know. Do you know what? I don't know if you were listening earlier, but there's garlic mustard in my community garden.
Oh, no.
I know. And it's in Logan Square. All right. I've seen a fair amount of garlic mustard around Logan Square. Now, in the city, it really doesn't pose the same problems that it does out in the wilds. But I would imagine that any of those plants can go to seed and the seed can spread somehow. And that's part of the problem, right?
Yes, very much so.
I mean, you mentioned on the list, you talk about some of the plants that are invasive, and garlic mustard is highly invasive. Why is garlic mustard so bad, Kathy?
Well, they haven't completely verified this, but one of the things it does is that it possibly releases a chemical into the soil that inhibits the growth of native plants. It also, like many other invasives, it leaves out much earlier, so it has an advantage to grow much more quickly before the native plants are up.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. That works for and against gardeners. Mm-hmm. For instance, if a lot of people plant non-natives in their yard, and many of them are not invasive, but what happens is those plants get fooled when it gets warm. And a lot of them will pop, like they did in March of this year when we had all those warm temperatures. Whereas the natives are smart. They've been through this drill. they know that if they come up too early, they might get zapped by cold. And so they hang back. They take their sweet old time. But as you point out, a non-native can take advantage of that. You know, the non-native might get zapped, or the non-native might take the opportunity to crowd out the native, garlic mustard does, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And the allelopathic properties, I thought that was fact, but they still haven't. And allelopathic, and I'm sorry for using words like that. For those of you who don't know what it means that's what Kathy was talking about when it sends out the chemicals that might inhibit other plants from growing. Now, that's not been scientifically proven?
There have been some papers for it, and others are saying, well, maybe it's not quite what we expected the effects to be. So I'm kind of on the fence about that.
Uh-huh.
But it's definitely something that, if you want to know more about it, read the literature and get the different viewpoints and results of the different experiments and kind of decide for yourself what you think.
Well, what if I just, as a radio guy who professes ignorance, I say, oh, of course it is. That's because we know it's bad anyway.
Yeah.
We know it's not good. I mean, and it would make sense that it has certain properties like that because natives are basically inhibited around the plant, even though it might just be, what, the fact that that garlic mustard is so prolific? How does it spread?
It spreads via seed, and once it blooms, we try to pick it before it blooms or right around blooming time rather than letting it set seed. Because once it sets seed, there's really no point in picking the plant anymore.
because the seed's going to be there. Now, it's an annual?
It is. It's actually, it's a biennial.
Biennial.
A first year it's a rosette, second year it blooms.
Even more insidious.
Yeah.
You don't see the bloom the first year, but you can recognize the leaves. I've got a picture of it on my website. Go to MikeNovak.net this week's show. Very pointy, actually very pretty, exotic, very exotic looking.
It's very pretty. Yeah.
Very pretty plant, and that's part of the problem. I mean, if you see it in my community garden, green on McLean, it's around the base of this mulberry tree. It looks like somebody planted it. It's like, oh, let's ring the base of the tree with this lovely plant with white flowers and spiky leaves. Not spiky, but they're sort of heart-shaped leaves, but with pointed lobes.
Yeah, and they could be easy to mistake for violets at times. So if you take the leaf off and just crush it, you can smell the garlicky odor, and that should be a good indicator that it's not a violet.
Mm-hmm. Now, it is. Is it truly part of the mustard family, or what's the?
It is part of the mustard family. Yeah.
So how did mustard go so wrong? That's what I want to know.
Well, the European settlers brought it here as salad greens, because I mean, a lot of what was introduced was introduced by colonists because they wanted to bring something they were familiar with.
So of course,
with them.
So you can make salad out of dandelions and garlic mustard. Mm-hmm. What other pernicious plant should we throw into that salad bowl?
Well, I've actually heard that some folks use the cattail, and they can make flour from it.
Cattail flour.
Yeah.
All right, 773-763-9278. If you ever made cattail flour, you're going to get some tickets to the Green Fest next week. I'll give away tickets. I mean, that deserves it. I mean, we had the woman call earlier about putting the dandelions in her, it's not Cuisinart, but the blender thing, whatever she called it. I don't have one of those machines, but she mixes it up and feeds it to her kids, and, you know, they're 7 feet tall now. yeah, if you've ever made cattail flour, I want to know about it. And by the way, Dennis, you there, buddy? We got to figure out how many of these pairs have we given away? Do we know yet? Do you have a?
Yeah, we got. Let me look at my list.
Okay, you figure that out. We'll get back to you because we'll give away some more of those. Kathy McGlynn is on the line from the Northeast Illinois Invasive Plant Partnership. Hang on just a second, Kath, because
okay.
I want to talk to you about some of these other plants that people grow, people actually buy and plant, which is terrifying, isn't it?
It's disconcerting, yes.
Yeah. I mean, to somebody like you, who's a scientist and who's out there trying to fix what we screwed up. So we'll be back with more of the plants that you should not plant, but that you might be doing and you might have growing in your yard right now in just a second. Faced with slashed city budgets for tree plantings, infestations of the emerald ash borer, and damage from ever increasingly severe storms, the city's urban forest is in critical need, and Openlands is ready for the challenge. Openlands has launched an initiative to plant 1,000 trees in the city of Chicago by April 26, 2013. That's April 26 of next year. Now, that's Arbor Day of next year, and they want your support. Studies show that people heal more quickly when they have views of trees outside of their hospital windows, and children play more creatively and with less conflict under trees than in highly structured playgrounds. You know, I'm betting that they play better under trees than they do on asphalt, too. That's probably part of it. Trees also benefit a city's infrastructure. Their roots hold soil in place and help water soak into the ground rather than running off into overloaded city sewers. This is how we turn water into poison, which is strange. Join Openlands today in this important initiative. There are plenty of opportunities for you to get your hands dirty. To learn more about all of the volunteer workdays, go to openlands.org or ask your employer about a volunteer workday to plant trees with Openlands. You can get your employer to team up with Openlands. That's a good thing. Get your fellow workers out there. Get them out from behind the desks and planting trees in Chicago. For more information about how to get involved, go to openlands.org. Openlands, conserving nature for life.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
If you're going to visit a garden center, why not make it an event, a place that is a destination and a delight? That place is Spring Bluff Nursery and Garden Center, located on a beautiful, historic 19th century farm, complete with farmhouse, just 15 minutes from the Fox River in Sugar Grove, Illinois. Went out there. We were shooting some stuff for Dig in Chicago out there several weeks ago, and red buds were in bloom, and they have this magnificent red bud that is right in the front, and right next to the old farmhouse, and it's just unbelievable. You have to see it to believe it. The specialty at Spring Bluffs is landscape-sized trees and shrubs that are locally grown right there on the farm. In fact, today, April 29th, is the last day of their open house, and you can save 25% on any spring-dug, bald, and burlapped tree, but there's a limit of one per customer. Now, you can't find this kind of discount in the spring. 25%, that's usually saved for the fall. So stop by today. Their two large greenhouses are bursting at the seams with blooming annuals, hanging baskets, and planters, plus lots of varieties of tomatoes, peppers, and herbs. All of their veggies are organically grown in biodegradable pots. Spring Bluff Nursery and Garden Center is located at the corner of Bliss and Norris Roads, just north of I-88 in Sugar Grove. Find them at springbluffnursery.com, of course. Spring Bluff is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago. But it's not all right if you plant invasive exotics, and it's not all right if you don't know that you've got an invasive exotic in your backyard. We're talking to Kathy McGlynn from the Northeast Illinois Invasive Plant Partnership. In 2 days, we start Illinois Invasive Species Awareness Month, but I'm doing this to call to your attention a few things. I put some of these up on the website, Kathy. Like, okay. All right, let's start with the ubiquitous burning bush.
Yes.
And a lot of people have that in their yards, and they think it's wonderful. Why is it a problem?
Because it escapes from their gardens, and it seeds into natural areas, and again, it outshades and outcompetes native plants, and native plants are habitat. They provide shelter and forage for native animals, so there's sort of a domino effect.
Now, is it worse if you have a house that, say, borders on a forest preserve land or something like that? Or is anywhere you have that, is it going to be a problem? Because, how does this spread? And is it going to spread more if it's right next to that kind of land?
I think I would be more concerned if I were closer to a nature preserve or a natural area, definitely. I mean, I'm sure it could be carried on someone's shoes or bicycle tires into natural areas if you are located some distance from those areas. But there's probably a greater chance if you're already near a natural area.
Now, here's a problem. This plant is sold in stores. You can still buy burning bush. You walk into a lot of the box stores, they're lined up.
Yeah.
And why don't we have law against this? We have a law against purple loosestrife, right?
We do. It's actually the Exotic Weed Act. It's not on the noxious weed law. So the fines are much less for that particular species.
For which one?
Purple loosestrife.
Then for what?
For something like common ragweed and marijuana are things you definitely have to take care of. And if you can't do it, you need to get help getting it taken care of. But those have to be taken care of.
You said common ragweed and marijuana?
That's on the noxious weed list. Yeah.
Yeah. I got news for you. It's not a noxious weed, okay? Yeah, see, this is what we waste our time doing. Okay, good. Thanks, guys. Hey, you legislators, thank you. You idiots. What a bunch of boneheads. The first thing we should be doing is legalizing hemp, like tomorrow, okay? Because it has so many uses. And then as for the drug part of it, give me a break. We're so done, and, you know, all you got to do is listen to Norman Goldman and other people talk about how the whole war on drugs is a sham. That's just crazy. But back to our real invasive plants.
Yeah.
Another is Bradford pear. And if you drive in the city of Chicago, you see it everywhere. In Logan Square in the spring, it's actually beautiful. They all pop and they're those white blooms, people go, oh. And yet, this is another one of those plants.
Yeah, and as part of the New Invaders Watch program, it's on the list as a new invader. And what's happening is we're asking people to report it when they find it in natural areas, and it's becoming problematic. It's been reported at Morton Arboretum and Medewin National Tall Grass Prairie. They've recorded several populations of it.
Really, where it just sort of pops up out of the blue?
Well, what happens is it has fruit, and the fruits are eaten by birds, and birds, of course, don't stay in one place, and they deposit it elsewhere.
Yeah, and that happens with a lot of plants. Buckthorn is one of them.
Yes.
Buckthorn in particular. Now, I don't think there's anybody left in the Midwest who thinks buckthorn is not invasive. The problem with buckthorn and folks is either ignorance or stubbornness, where they say, that's my forest. You can't cut down my forest. Why are you cutting down my forest? Because I don't want to be able to see my neighbor's house. All right. I don't like my neighbor very much. I don't like people in general. So I want the buckthorn to stay up. When that stays up, that's a huge problem, though, isn't it?
It is. And trying to educate folks and get them to replace that buckthorn with another, a more suitable shrub is a big challenge. Yeah.
Another one. And these are plants that a lot of these 15 years ago, you wouldn't have had this question, would you? Or am I wrong about that?
We know a lot more. What's been happening is that some of these species are not quite as invasive in the Midwest yet, but we know they're usually problematic in the Northeast, and we can pretty much assure that it will happen here, too. It's just a matter of time.
Where do you stand on butterfly bush, Buddleia?
I don't actually have an opinion on that.
Oh, come on, Kathy.
I honestly don't know much about it.
Okay.
So I'm gonna...
It's invasive in a lot of places.
Okay.
I mean, it's you can't bring it into New Zealand. I think Washington State has banned it.
See, I didn't know that.
That's
interesting.
Okay, good. When I teach you stuff,
yeah.
But Japanese barberry, which again is one of those plants that you can buy. There are different kinds of barberry. Which one is it? Just one that's invasive? What are we talking about here?
I'm actually consulting the list of the
Well, I've got Berberis thunbergii.
Yes, which is the red version.
The red one. But that's the one that people want because it's a red color.
Yes, which is the same case with burning bush. It's so beautiful and it's red.
Yeah.
But it's a problem. And it's a huge problem in the forests of the Northeast. I used to work as a field biologist, and trying to crawl and break your way through a huge patch of that can be quite a hazardous experience.
I know, and there's some actually. I'll tell you another reason that it's a problem in my neighborhood, anyway. At the end of the block on the corner building, there's a patch of it, and it captures every plastic bag in the neighborhood. They just blow, and all the papers pile up, but mostly the plastic bags. The red barberry is just nasty.
Yeah.
So, any other you would add to that list?
Oh, there are quite a few. I'll stick with the basic list we have. That it's on the Landscape Alternatives brochure, and Russian olive, autumn olive.
Which nice silver leaves and it looks pretty in the landscape, but it's very invasive.
Yeah, very beautiful plants. Very beautiful.
Yeah.
Bush honeysuckles.
Yeah, bush honeysuckles. The vine honeysuckles not so much a problem, right?
Not as much here, no.
Yeah, but the bush honeysuckles can be really invasive. And again, the seeds get spread easily by birds, and they pop up all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Also have some aquatic plants. We've got flowering rush. We have a couple populations that have made it their way here, and we're hoping to take care of those this summer. And that's a really beautiful plant with a pink and white flowering umbel, and it's often mistaken for some native rushes. But it's very pretty, but it's quite problematic too in wet areas. And then there's the ubiquitous Oriental bittersweet.
Ah, bittersweet. I had a contest with a bittersweet in a client's yard when I was doing some landscaping, and finally just cut the sucker down and got it to stay dead. So I was lucky.
You're very lucky.
Yeah. It finally kicked the bucket, and I'm not sure why, because that stuff, the branches or the vines get huge. They can pull down pergolas, kind of like wisteria can do after a while.
Yeah.
But, the Oriental bittersweet. Now, there's a native bittersweet, right?
Yes, there is. And the way you can tell them apart is the The invasive has the fruits and the flowers and the leaf axils all along the branches, while the native has the fruits and flowers only at the end of the branch.
There you go. Write that down, kids. All right. Yeah. If people want to get involved in the garlic mustard challenge, how do they do that, Kathy?
They can contact me. They can also go on our website. We have a tab on our menu for Illinois Invasive Species Awareness Month and some sub-web pages with different events, and there's one for the Garlic Mustard Challenge, and they can look up events that have been posted if they'd like to participate there.
Given that it's bloomed so early this year, it's kind of weird to be going out after it. It's almost going to be about to go to seed.
Yeah.
So you want to work fast.
We do want to work fast, and I'm a little concerned that we may not be able to defend our title this year.
Because it's too warm here.
Yeah.
That's interesting. But I've got all that information on my website. Go to MikeNovak.net. And I've got Kathy McGlynn's phone number there, which is, if you want to write this down, 847-242-6423. 847-242-6423. Or Kathy.McGlynn, M-C-G-L-Y-N-N, at N-I-I-P-P. .net. But that's on the website, so you can go there and find it if you were not able to write it down. Kathy McGlynn, always great to talk, you know, nasty invasives with you.
Thanks.
I know. It's like, this is what we do. These are our lives here. Oh, goodness. Goodness.
Thanks for interesting conversation.
Yeah, I guess so for some people. for me, I think it's fascinating. I really do. I especially think it's fascinating when we find out that plants that we have accepted into our yards as ornamentals are deemed to be exotic invasives. And then we have to, you know, reverse course.
But for me, it's more of an indicator that this field is ever changing, and we never can quite predict who's going to be an invader.
Yeah.
We just don't always know.
On that note, I'm going to let you go. Kathy McGlynn, Northeast Illinois Invasive Plant Partnership. You have a great May and defend the championship.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Hey, if we still got some ticks left for the Green Fest. I guess we're going to have to. You're getting all the information, Dennis, so we'll get the delivery system to him.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You know, I'm paying for those stamps. You realize that.
All right.
You know, it's maybe we should give away 10 at once so that it costs me less to send out. I don't know. 773-763-9278. You know, the people who have called so far to scam for ticks have had good scams. I've liked them. I've gotten great information. So that's all I ask. Don't just get on the phone and beg. Give me something. I do this at talks, too, where I go in and I give away magazines. I give away Chicagoland Gardening magazines, but I try not to do it to the people who ask for them. I make people answer questions.
You got
to
earn them.
You got to earn them. Exactly. There ain't no free lunch. Give me a break. Not even on the Mike Novak Show. We'll be right back.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Available where garden supplies are sold.
Here we are on the penultimate day of April. And guess who has the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine in his hot little hands? Well, it's not Dennis on the other side of the glass. It's me. This issue gets things rolling with an article by our own Beth Botts, who will be sitting in with me on the show in a couple of weeks. She lays out the ABCs of buying a plant. Whether it's at a great independent garden center, like I always recommend, or one of those box stores. There's also a story about this year's winner of the one-seed Chicago vote. Well, actually, you know what? I wrote that last night because I went to, they were supposed to announce it yesterday, the one seed Chicago winner. And I'm going to see right now whether survey says, you know, one seed Chicago, see whether they have the announced winner. No, they haven't updated the website. See, I assumed it was going to be Basil, Brother Basil. If anybody knows the winner of the one seed Chicago contest, give me a call, 773-763-9278. I'll give you a couple of tickets to the Green Fest next week. Anyway, basil is a wonderful herb, especially if you grow it right and you know how to keep and freeze it. There's even a recipe in the magazine for honey basil sorbet. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that one. And bringing up the rear is my column on the inside back page. You can add honey and basil and try to turn it into a sorbet, but it still usually ends up as a kind of garden gruel. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over town, or get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Hey, Mike Novak here to tell you about a great business, Green Home Experts in Oak Park. They have a wonderful new eco garden center to help get you growing this spring. Green Home Experts offers a variety of annuals, perennials, edibles, and all the garden accessories you'll need. Their educated staff is on hand to share techniques that will bring you joy in gardening while you reduce your environmental footprint. They also offer a full line of household products and building materials that allow you to modify and maintain a more sustainable home. Green Home Experts offers many ecologically sound products for your home, inside and out. Be sure to mention me, Mike Novak, when you shop at Green Home Experts, and immediately receive $20 off your Eco Garden Center purchase of $150 or more. Don't wait. Stop in at Green Home Experts, 811 South Boulevard in Oak Park. And to find out more about upcoming events and special deals, be sure to like Green Home Experts on Facebook.
And Maria Onesto Moran will be on in a few minutes from Green Home Experts. Soil is the gift that keeps on giving, well, to your plants anyways, and therefore to you too. So give your soil some loving with Dr. Earth, Dr. Earth's probiotics. A soil inoculant consists of soil bacteria and mycorrhizal fungi that break down organic materials, make nutrients available to your plants, and help suppress pathogens. Dr. Your Earth with Dr. Earth, sold only at those wonderful local independent garden centers. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you and like them on Facebook at Dr. Earth Organic Products. In honor of Mirahuchiduchi being classified as what, a seriously invasive plant? Yeah, it just grows wild all over the place, and we have to eradicate it from our lives. Hey, Congress, get a clue. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let's go to line one, and John, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Well, thank you very much. From Cal City, the home of the natural gas, if anybody wants to have a natural gas car, we've got a station here that'll sell you a natural gas.
Wait. Back up. Natural gas car?
Doreen's Pizza runs all their delivery trucks with natural gas, and they'll sell natural gas to anybody that wants to convert their car because of all this crazy stuff going on in the Middle East.
You know, and that's a double-edged sword there. I mean, it's the idea of powering cars on natural gas sounds good until you figure out that we're probably going to end up getting most of our natural gas from fracking in the future, and that is fraught with so many difficulties.
We have been fracking for 50 years, yeah, so we do have some history with that.
Yeah, we do have some history, but it's, you know, becoming more and more the way to extract natural gas. And we don't regulate it the way we should. That's just the truth. And
I think you may be right about that, but I don't. That looks to me like an avalanche of productivity that's going to happen in Canada and the Middle West.
Well, you know, we could go on and debate this, but
anyway, I'm sorry. Let me get back to the Canadian thistle.
Oh, okay.
I see all this Canadian thistle coming roaring up I-57, and I'm wondering why is the Canadian plant coming up from the southwest? And my God, next time you have her on, we could ask her a little bit more about what they're doing about that plant.
Yeah, you know, Canadian thistle is really difficult. You know, it's because it's got the extensive root system, and its persistence is the key in getting rid of Canadian thistle. And I've found a couple in my yard this spring, and I'm asking myself, whoa, where did this come from? And they
you've got 1,000 by next year.
Well, not if I get them out now. You know.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you know, I'm gonna dig those babies out and
right.
You know, it's a difficult. So, do you have them in your yard, or you're just seeing them along the highway, or what?
Well, we're talking to NDOT over in Indiana about dealing with invasive species and trying to put in native species all along the roadways, and that we're having our own stories about that. But I'm wondering, have you talked with IDOT? And seeing if IDOT is starting to look at what they should be doing on their right-of-ways and trying to deal with Canadian thistle and maybe even replacing crown vetch with native species.
That would probably be a way to go. You know, of course, highways are tough along highways, but there have been programs for putting native plants in along highways. You know, that would make a really good topic on the show.
Well, so in Indiana, if you're just going down I-94, when you get to the exit 19 by what Bass Pro is right there, but that has been put in by our Department of Transportation, and it's all kinds of native plants and flowering plants, and they did the same thing down the entrance to the state park, Indiana State Park, Dunes State Park, at exit 26. You'll see a lot of native plants now. They put in the clover leaf. So our NDOT is moving in that direction over here, and I'm just happy to help you. You know. And by the way, say hello to Tom Shepard. We can get Illinois to do the same thing. We might have a chance.
So you and Tom are friends. Tom, of course, with the Southeast Environmental Task Force.
Yes, Tom's been worked hard with Tom over the years. You know, we got the state line, so, you know, they're still checking passports back and forth. You know, it's kind of tough to get the two states to sometimes work together.
Yeah.
But we've had some success.
Well, here's what I would tell you, John. Send me some information about the planting natives on the highways, and I would like to do a show segment on that. I think it would be fascinating and informative.
Well, terrific. I'll put some stuff together and get it to you.
All right. Thanks, man. Thank you for calling. Right. I really appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye. 773-763-9278. Let us go to Helene. Is that who I have here?
Helene.
Oh, how do you spell that?
H-U-E-L-E-N-E.
Helene.
Named after Huey, my father.
Oh, Helene. Wow. I like
that's
name.
That's a popular name in Louisiana.
Is it really?
Goes back to the famous
Huey Long?
Governor that was assassinated. But anyway, what I'm calling about.
Okay, go ahead. I'm just fascinated by that name. And I, being a northern guy, being a Yankee, I don't know a whole lot about that.
Well, my father's from Louisiana, and all the people loved Huey P. Long. So there's Huey's. And if you have a girl, well, it's
Helene.
Okay. I do vegetable juicing every day, and I have a lot of the vegetable pulp. And I want to do something. I'm sure I'd like to put those nutrients back into my soil. I have a small composter. I do it, but that doesn't take care of all the pulp that I have. And I just wonder, does anybody do composting of their vegetable juice pulp?
I don't know why you couldn't. Now, why is it you can't use all of your pulp in your compost? Do you have indoor compost?
No, it's just a little turner. You know, I have it turns little plastic one, but I have really more than I could use from that, and so
I know it seems to me that how much vegetable juice can you drink? How do you have, like, how big is the pile of vegetable pulp that you have?
Well, every day it grows, and I just wonder what to do with it. You know,
I would
spread it out on my yard. I don't want to do that.
No, I would compost it. I'd put it in the compost pile and add the regular scraps and the brown leafies and, you know, everything, and throw in the vegetable pulp as well. I would imagine that the pulp is it's got the fiber. That's where a lot of fiber is. And so are you saying that it doesn't break down particularly readily?
Well, not fast enough. And then I wonder, can you spread that out on your vegetable garden? I mean, I don't know if that would just attract rodents or if it would, you know, compost fast enough to...
I have to admit, Helene, never had this question before.
Okay.
First time you got me. It stumped the mic, and you got me with the question. So, but that's okay. I'm going to find out.
All right.
So
I'll keep listening. I really like your show. I will keep listening.
I doubt that I'll get the answer today. It's possible somebody will call.
Okay.
But here's what I want you to do. Can you send me an email about this?
Okay. Sure.
Mike@mikenovak.net.
Okay. I don't know if your name is N with a W or N with N-O-V
I'm
or N-O-W.
I'm so glad you asked. It's Mike, N-O-W-A-K.
Okay.
And we will we'll attempt to answer that. I mean, you're right, because part of the problem is that you've got all that fiber left over.
There's a little grocery store in my neighborhood that makes juice, and so they have bags and bags that they throw away every day. And I thought, oh, my God, all that good nutrition, we need to put it back in the soil. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's you know, and I would say composting is probably the best issue way to do it. It'll break down eventually. You know, spreading it on your yard, I'm not sure that is going to be as useful.
So.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, I've got to go, Helene.
Thank you
so much for calling. Send me that. If anybody has an answer, drop me a line, mike@mikenovak.net, and we'll see if we can figure that out.
Okay.
All right, take care now. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Here's another good reason why you should make Allsip Home and Nursery your go-to place for all of your gardening needs. In a word, veggies. We're talking veggies all day today. New this year, Allsip is offering a line of Asian vegetables, including pak choy and okrane, to include in their already extensive lineup. In 2009, they began to offer their own brand of vegetables and herbs called Perfect Choice from their very own Kingsbury Acres. This full line of vegetables and herbs includes tomatoes, peppers, broccoli, zucchini, and much more. Allsip selects the very best varieties bred for disease and pest resistance, production, and overall garden performance. Of course, they carry a wide selection of herbs, including basil, cilantro, sage, parsley, rosemary, lavender, and chives. So get to Allsip Nursery today, Sunday. You can head on over there in Frankfort, Illinois, on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana, on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30, and online at Allsip, A-L-S-I-P, nursery.com.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Are burrowing creatures turning your lawn into a giant piece of Swiss cheese? Well, Bonide has the solution. We talked about it last hour. Bonide's Mole Max, an effective repellent to use against moles, voles, rabbits, gophers, groundhogs, squirrels, skunks. It goes on and on. The environmentally friendly Mole Max formulation makes it safe to apply in areas where children and pets play. Just apply 3 to 4 times per year to send nuisance animal pests away. Mole Max is available in 10-pound bags that cover 5,000 square feet, or in a convenient 5-pound shaker applicator. Momax is also available in a quart-sized, ready-to-use spray liquid with a built-in hose and sprayer. And Momax can be found at Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines, Platte Hill Nursery in Bloomingdale and Carpentersville, Ebel's Ace Hardware in Homer Glen, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid. The app features a search engine where you can type in the name of a pest or weed and find a solution. Get it at Bonide, Bonide.com.
Are you passionate about health and wellness, nutrition, fitness, personal growth, or living a more sustainable and green lifestyle? Then pick up your free copy of Natural Awakenings magazine throughout the city of Chicago and northern and northwestern suburbs. Natural Awakenings is available at wellness and fitness centers, health food and grocery stores, coffee shops, libraries, retail locations, and wherever free publications are found. Natural Awakenings is your local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely articles about nutrition, alternative and complementary medicine, fitness for your body and mind, healthy pets, recipes, a local events calendar, and so much more. Natural Awakenings is also the perfect way for advertisers to reach health-conscious and green readers that actively support like-minded businesses and service providers. Call 847-858-3697 today to learn more about advertising opportunities. That's 847-858-3697. Pick up your copy of Natural Awakenings at more than 800 area locations or read it online at nachicagonorth.com.
Just got a tweet. The winner of One Seed Chicago, Basil. Yeah. Big surprise. Next year, let's have a real competition. I'm sorry, cilantro and chamomile. You never had a chance. But the best thing I learned about the whole thing is that from chamomile, you can use chamomile tea in your plants to get rid of fungus gnats. That's the best thing I learned from the whole One Seed Chicago competition. Also got a tweet from Good Green Guru. Keystone Pipeline will raise Midwest gas prices. And he's right. You know, there's a lot of misinformation going on out there. We are just, you know, it becomes this, well, I'll get to it later. Spring seminars continue at Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines on Saturday, May 12th from 10 to 11 a.m. Pesci's presents a seminar on Dr. Earth organic gardening products. Dr. Earth's Lisa Grant will be discussing the benefits of Dr. Earth products, Pesci's best-selling organic fertilizer, which is pet-friendly and people-safe. Lisa will answer your questions about their uses and why the earth-friendly products really work. And they do. And following that, from 11 a.m. to noon, Dr. Wally himself, in his coat, I hope, the white lab coat, presents tremendous tomato tips. Wally Schmidtke, Pesci's Garden Center Manager, will cover A to Z on growing tomatoes organically. Don't miss this informative seminar, and that's May 12th, 10 to 11 a.m. at Pesci's. While you're there, pick up some annuals, perennials, fruit trees or shrubs, seeds and starting supplies, wildlife and animal products, and of course, vegetables. All of their veggies are free of sprays and fertilizers. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. Visit them online at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. Well, I told you a little earlier that, and you heard it on this very radio show, that Green Home Experts has some new digs in Oak Park, and their big grand opening is next Saturday. I have Maria Onesto Moran on the phone. Let me get that right. Maria Onesto Moran. How are you doing, Maria?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Congratulations. And by the way, Green Home Experts is a proud sponsor of the Mike Novak Show and also Mighty House on Chicago's Progressive Talk. And we're happy that you do that, Maria.
Oh, thank you. We are too.
I just stopped by there the other day. I don't know if you caught the beginning of the show.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Managed to get myself a ticket. Could you warn people about the parking situation there?
Did you really? Yeah, parking can be a little difficult at Oak Park. In Oak Park, that's why we encourage people to ride their bikes when they can. Check out the residential street parking, too.
But get there. That's the point, because you have these wonderful new digs and you've got this brand new garden center, and it's all, it's the good stuff. You know, it's got the organic products and plants. I'm really, you had the Dr. Earth products, saw that. You had even the tube, Flora tube there, which is compost in a sock.
Uh-huh.
And I understand that kind of came about because you heard something on the show or on Twitter.
Yeah, this is what I love about your show, Mike, because someone had come into the shop about a week or two before I saw that on Twitter. And of course, you know, we always have sales reps trying to get us to buy their products. And we have a meticulous process for choosing, you know, what we sell. And so it went into my inbox, and then I saw something about it on Twitter. And I thought, oh, well, you know, there's something in my inbox about that. And so that's what spurred me to have a conversation with the guys. And now all of our customers are really happy that we have them.
I hope they buy them. I mean, I want you to try them. What you got to do is take one of those and throw it on a slab of concrete and plant stuff in it to show people how they work, that it's that simple, you
uh-huh.
know. So tell me very quickly what's going to happen next week at the big opening.
Well, we're calling it Beginner's Weekend. We know for a lot of people out there, gardening has skipped a generation, and so not everyone has mom or grandma to call on to ask these gardening questions. Some of us are just getting into gardening again for the first time in a long time. Or, you know, the great thing about gardening is that there's always something new. And what we are looking to do next weekend is get people off on the right start for a really successful growing season. We have Sharon, our garden godmother, will be there from 10 to 2, giving free 20-minute consultations for people about their specific gardens. So we want people to make an appointment, bring in pictures, bring in drawings, bring in ideas for their own gardens. And, you know, Sharon will help you think through some of these things. How much sun do you get? Are you doing it in containers? You know, what's the quality of your soil? To help people have a very successful garden season. And then from 11 to 3, Jeff from Dig Right in Landscaping will be there to talk to people about sustainable landscaping in general.
That's just great. And it's at 811 South Boulevard. That's basically at the corner of South and
Oak Park Avenue.
Oak Park Avenue. So it's real easy to find. And you've got tomatoes, you got herbs, you got hanging baskets, you got succulents, you got perennials, you got Dr. Earth soils, you've got rain barrels, composters, earth boxes, and flora tubes. You got it all. Congratulations, Maria. I hope a bunch of people show up next Saturday, the 5th, and help you celebrate.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right. You have a good day now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
And, of course, I hope that you all show up at Green Home Experts. Big opening. Next Saturday, say hi to Maria for me. Here's a question from the Care of Trees blog. Arborists are often asked, what rights do landowners have when their neighbor's tree limb hangs over the property? Well, here's the answer. The landowner owns both the ground below and the air above his property. When a neighbor's tree limb hangs over an adjoining property, the adjoining property owner has an absolute right to cut the tree limbs off to the property line. Providing that the pruning is properly performed, it does not cause unreasonable harm to the tree. The adjoining property owner is free from all civil and criminal damages when he does cut the limbs. This overhang, in fact, belongs to the adjoining owner. Log into the Care of Trees blog for more straightforward information at the Care of Trees, thecareoftrees.com, or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220. 394-4220, the Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees, and a great sponsor of Dig in Chicago. Before I go, Dan Costa wrote, like most people, I have yellow-flowered dandelions, but he also grows intentionally a white-flowered dandelion. Texicum albidum. It's weird. It's actually hard to germinate. It only gets very few plants. Some people actually grow dandelions on purpose. So, all right, we'll see you next week. Go green or go home.